going back to that particular part, I do believe that hybrid is kind of a stepping stone. This is a big statement, right? But I've said it a few times now. I think hybrid is a stepping stone for hyper-casual studios to learn casual. Mm-hmm. And hybrid is like the 0.5 or the V1 of all of these teams. Ooh, actually.
Okay. Mark 1.
Mark 1. Because everyone basically wants casual evergreen games. Like, we want games that are in market 4, 5, 6 years.
Everybody's not talking about forever.
This is no bullshit gaming podcast, 2.5 gamers. Sharing actionable insights, dropping knowledge from our day-to-day user acquisition, game design, and ad monetization jobs. We are definitely not discussing the latest industry news, but having so much fun. Let's not forget this is a 4 a.m. conference discussion vibe, so let's not take it too seriously.
Okay, welcome everybody. My name is Matthew Lantridge.
I'm Felix Barber.
And I'm Jakub Remier.
And we are your hosts. We also work as consultants, and we work you on your games, on the UA, game design, and ad monetization side. And now we have a special guest for Quali. John, welcome. Can you, you know, intro you and say something about yourself and the company you work with?
Yeah, my name is John Wright. I'm the Vice President of Publishing.
Look,
I upgraded a little bit in the last couple of months. I'm working for a decent outfit now, you know, big company, Quali.
Yeah.
Where were you before?
I was at Unity. Yeah, okay. not a big company. But no, all joking aside, it's a real pleasure to be here, guys. I've known all of you for a number of years, or like Matei Amigo way back. I'm really happy to be here and to shoot the shit with the guys and just talk about the gaming industry. Let's go.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. I want to kick off with the LinkedIn posts you had about the UA landscape and like publishing business. Like, what was it all about?
So for me, I think it was a moment where finally after coming out of a big corporation.
Yeah. You can actually talk.
So this is the thing, right? And obviously I have a lot of love and admiration for my previous employer. You know, Unity, a great company. However, as a corporate business, which is public, there are certain things that as an employee you can't do. One is have like an outspoken opinion. If anyone's ever met me. I'm 6'2".
You mean to come on our podcast?
But no, I'm a big outspoken guy, and I don't like being told what I can and can't say.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
No, I mean, I can now. Quali appreciate my outspokenness. So, obviously for me, it was about, you know, using my sort of decade plus of gaming and just running a bit of punditry on what I'm seeing based on all of the information that I'm seeing across the space. And look, like, I'm a big believer in that gaming is a close-knit community, and it's about sharing information together to ensure that
all of us
work.
That's why we're here.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's it, guys. Basically, I wanted to talk about what I'm seeing.
Yeah. What are you actually doing at Quali then? Like, what's Quali doing? What's it makes it different?
Mr. Vice President doesn't.
VPs don't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
do anything.
I have a corner office.
My own private.
Oh my god.
Leather.
You sit in the office.
Whiteboard behind me. No. TV on the wall.
Honestly, do you do anything?
Yeah, I'm doing shit there.
I'm
in the office.
Let's start with a different. Like I say, like everything is moving to hybrid casual.
Yes.
What are you guys doing in that space? What's going on? What's your vision on it?
He has to say what he's actually doing. let's start with that. No, then no. We can he almost dodged the bullet.
What do you do?
We are paying attention now.
What do you do?
So as everyone said, my role is Vice President of Mobile Publishing.
Maybe if you say it 5 more times, like, you actually believe me.
So I'm going to keep Vice President Bullshit Bingo.
We're up to 2. Bullshit Bingo.
When we get to 5, we need to buy a round of drinks.
If you say, depends like how many times you say Vice President, we do the Hennessy joke.
Hennessy show every Vice President.
Okay,
but no, in a serious note, so my job is to lead the strategy of the publishing division of Quali. So Quali being a very well-established, long-standing British publisher and studio. I think the thing that differentiates us from the competition is the fact that we joined publishing later and we had, you know, sort of 7-8 years of developing our own successful games in the sort of casual, puzzle and hyper-casual space. And you know, in the last couple of years, we decided that we wanted to, you know, invest into a publishing division, which is I lead the strategy for.
And also, wait. There's also the one arm nobody's talking about. Like, there's like PC.
PC console? Yeah.
I want to talk about that one.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Okay.
I've only been politically correct.
Huh? Like, no,
I don't know if we're going to get that on this one.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm really interesting.
Yeah, so look, I think, you know, there's a lot of well-documented big companies at the moment investing in trans-platform. So, like, a lot of people, Supercell, and then these big companies that are trying to get more people on PC because, you know, the users and the tracking and stuff, you get more data and there's more value compared to mobile, where, you know, now it's a much tougher ecosystem. So Qualy are, you know, in a very fortunate position where we are self-funded by our founder David Darling. And, you know, he is
he's a darling,
knighted by the Queen, dude. Like, for gaming. Yeah, that can actually happen in this country. You can get knighted by the Queen.
Okay.
What?
Swear to God.
New thing you just learned.
That's a new level of old money.
Yeah.
No, he's like, he's the most, like, nice, very sort of, like, down-to-earth guy. He's like an engineer. He's like wearing coded 50.
Wait, what are you doing?
I'm getting, we were talking about PC consoles.
So you talk to developers.
Yeah, okay, so let's go back a track.
Almost like the bullet to think
about. Okay,
hold them down, boys.
I love it.
Guys, I'm blaming Felix. He's pouring Hennessy shots. So you should basically see in the background, you know, and thinking this is fun. But no,
it's mainly fun.
It is really fun, actually. Yeah, it's good times. But look, as vice president of publishing, it's my job. Oh, man. Okay. So in my role, what I do is I look after the strategy of the publishing division. And what that means is that I partner with all of the third party developers to understand, you know, what studios are doing, only building cool stuff right now, but do not have the business acumen or the funding or the resources to be able to take those games to mass market.
Okay.
So what we want is to find cool studios that have really cool projects and smart founders, and that
you want to find newest totties.
Let me get more into detail, because if I understand correctly, this is where you differ between the competition, that you have also internal teams.
Yes.
Then you have also trying to spread around, which is like the other guys are just trying to spread around. They don't know internal teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how it works?
Yes, we have four core divisions. I lead one of them, which is the publishing division. We have internal hybrid casual studio.
What's your role?
Yes, there's four core divisions. Publishing, which is what I lead. Then there's an internal hybrid casual division, which has four studios. So we have four teams working on four games at once.
Is that the one that got knighted by the Queen?
No, I mean, look, he's the pleasant
English. Finally, no bullshit stuff is coming out.
We have four internal teams which report into a VP who leads that, mm-hmm. and then we have a pure casual team that specialize in like solitaire, card games, traditional casual.
Evergreen.
Okay.
And then we have a fourth arm, which is PC console, and we just launched one of our most successful games ever called Wildmender. It's got a 82 Metacritic and it's done couple of hundred thousand units.
Premium?
Yeah.
Really?
$29? Yeah.
Okay. So double A?
Double A.
Yeah.
We don't like using that phrase because it's kind of takes away from
it's
the indie
consensus.
For people listening, usually you like categorize these things like AAA means they're usually, you know, Witcher 3 $60 game. Yeah. Double A means something around like lower budget, still very high quality, but around $30. And then you get like all the way to indie.
So, yeah, exactly. So
that's very interesting.
Yeah, look, and it's a completely different thing. It's fairly new, last 2-3 years, but you know, we have a portfolio of like 4 or 5 games that we market now, and we have 6 or 7 coming out over the next 12 months in PC console.
So let me get this straight. So those PC are again internal studios, not external?
No, so the PC is publishing actually.
So publishing, not internal.
Yeah, so we don't currently have an internal PC development team.
Yeah.
Just because obviously there is obviously highly expensive.
So you're trying to get like another little company, another pal world around the corner.
Can you hold this for?
Yeah, sure. Look, at the end of the day, same as we do in mobile, it's important to try and give, you know, the underdog their shot.
Yeah, of course. And then
look, just because they're a small company doesn't mean they can't make amazing products.
Of course, like especially this, like the start of the year, I keep hearing about BC success after BC success after BC success.
Okay, what's the new game? Pokemon with
Palworld.
Pokemon
with guns.
700k
CCU or 800k.
No, it's 1 million.
1 million already.
It was 1 million.
You already had two cannons.
Like,
Pokemon joke, y'all.
To be honest, I have like literally few friends telling me that they're switching from mobile to like mainly focus on PC, and coming from expertise because it's just like greener pastures currently.
I worked with one company who was just mobile only and mobile first, and then they said, "Look, fuck mobile, let's go to PC." And like they made like the pivot like 2 years ago, and had the making it for.
Man, honestly, the mediation setup on PC is so much easier. There's no walled gardens. It's so much easier to make a lot more money on that.
But free to play PC games.
Yeah, but it's honestly you can set up mediations like waterfalls that are just so much more competition in them.
The main thing is
right now, like with Iron Source and Max, right? Like you're in there bidding, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think of the bidding stack, it's like bidders. Mm-hmm. But on desktop, you have bidders, and then you can build up your own post-bid, pre-bid, and like a pre-auction. And you can lots of build that on desktop.
So you're telling me I can build rewarded video ads in my PC free-to-play game?
Rewarded videos don't exist on PC.
So what exists then?
But no, I'm saying on the mediation stack, it's easier to get a lot of competition.
But how can you get the ads in the game then if you're on PC?
No, but it's interstitial or banners.
In PC game?
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before.
First of all,
premium experiences on PC do not include banners. My premium experience.
Like I'm all for free to play PC, like stuff like I don't Pedal Exile, pay for comfort, like you know, there's a different model, but never seen ads there. There won't be any ads there, I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
But like that's my like
you've been rich for too long, man.
Yeah, but that's like Do you see it happening?
So look at what's happening with Amazon and Netflix, right? Even now, they're going to put ads into the paid prescription.
Yeah, that's true. Mm.
It's just like time before they put ads in the games because they realize they can make more money.
So do we expect to see PC games having ads in them, interstitials, banners, and eventually rewarded
videos?
Oh,
100%.
100%.
You hear it here first. Especially I.
No.
This is a big
shift.
Like, yeah, big assumption from these two.
The
purists over here are maybe disagreeing with that, but you know.
No, but like it makes all the sense.
Yeah, of course it makes all the sense.
Everything's going to be cross-platform, right?
Cannot imagine the scale of PC community raging over this.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Reddit is about to be blowing
up. Yeah.
Man, you're going to be new Bobby Kotick.
You should
explain pre-bid, post-bid, and all this like fun stuff.
So basically,
I want to know more about it.
Yeah. So essentially, like right now on Max and Iron Source, what you're able to do is like you set up a bidding. You have your placements and you have bidders. So basically, it's like placements, like our bidders that first come up with the highest price and it goes down the waterfall. So how it works on desktop is that before you even get to the bidding part that goes down the waterfall, you actually set like a private auction or a pre-bid auction, where basically you have a bunch of bidders or a bunch of like direct deals that then comes up with a higher price before it even goes into the bidders. So basically your preferred deals go basically compete for a high price, but then go into the bidders. So you're going in bidders not at $0, but you're going in at a price.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically those goes in the bidder, that also pushes it up if it's already higher. And that goes through the waterfall, and you see basically what comes up at the highest price. And then after that, you send it to a post bid, which means that. The post bid, which basically means that you take the highest bid that you got out from that process, and then you basically set up like more demand inventory, the bid on that inventory.
Okay, so in layman's terms, you're selling your shit not on the street, you're selling it inside. Or a higher price.
No, but
and then
you,
when you
no,
go no, onto the street, it's already
no,
on that price.
What you do on desktop is you put up the same people in pre-bid, during the bid, and then also post-bid. So you have these three same networks bidding.
So you squeeze them three times.
Yes.
Genius.
Yeah.
You keep looking at me like I'm a blonde boy, but I'm not.
The horns picture.
Okay,
I can see it.
That's the pre-bid and post-bid the same thing?
Yeah.
So you squeeze them more.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just a few.
Okay.
Look, everyone needs to make more money right now.
Yeah,
right?
Of course, like the margins are going down, that's the problem.
Now, like all the discussion I had, like here, like, oh, well, you know, people think like it's for fun. It's like, you know, we make games for players. Like, yeah, need
like to make commercial money. Product.
Yeah, it's business.
It's business. You need to pay the bills, guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
the business of games, dude. It's what we're in, right?
Yeah. Like, the best thing is like, oh, well, you just go to the grocery store. Like, you want to pay? It's like, hey, well, my game's fun.
Yeah. Pay with your attention. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But
attention doesn't pay bills.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I've been talking about always. But yeah, it's okay.
That's true.
Now. But the hybrid casual shit. That's really important.
When are we gonna see you on
Remo's
list?
Our list.
Yeah, when are we gonna see you when are we gonna see Koali on Remo's list of hybrid casual games?
I'm hoping very soon. We've got like a couple of projects that are looking very interesting.
You mentioned like five games that you're working on.
Do I sense a template?
You're good. No, but look, this is the thing with Koali, because we have the internal and the publishing, right? So there is no template, because we're working with external companies as well as sort of using our own ideation to bring different types of games to market.
Even Say Games are using templates across different studios.
Not with Meta, but with Core.
Yeah,
translating the Core around.
Yeah.
Yeah, look.
The ultimate question, John. Do you have a Core team that is only working on the backend and, you know, the tools, not on games?
We do have a tools team,
That's
your template. Here it is. Thank you very much.
Does that mean you have an SDK that basically does all of your games?
We have the Koali SDK that has everything.
There you go.
The full shebang, guys.
Okay, nice.
But what benefit for our listeners that does that bring, having that?
So, I mean, the Koali SDK literally has everything in it in terms of like the Facebook SDK, so we can do testing, the Outlier SDK, so we can track data.
It brings the speed.
And, yeah, exactly. So this is the thing. A lot of these smaller developers, again, purely talking about publishing now, a lot of these people don't even have the money to buy about the third-party software.
Yeah.
Right? So they're using Facebook and just tracking from that perspective, potentially.
Yeah.
If not, they're using, I don't know, GA or something similar, right? Free.
Google Analytics.
Yeah, Google. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so like the Koali SDK allows them, to, as well as us, to actually see all of the data to be able to understand if, as Jeff Abui, you know, like, is this going to be a commercially successful business? Like, is this a game that's going to drive profit? And whilst obviously we're very passionate about the product, we all know, and we've been in gaming long enough, that some of the best looking games we've ever seen never went to market, and some of the best games never were successful. There has to be balance between making the most fun games and making ones that can actually pay.
Work on some of those.
What are the like KPIs for commercial success?
$1 billion.
Yeah. Hey, come on. No, seriously. Yeah. For you.
Yes, I mean, for us, so
what are you looking for?
Yeah, look.
CPI day one?
Yeah, I mean, look, CPI and stuff, like, marketability is not as popular as it once was. Quite,
yeah,
right? Like,
anymore.
No more hyper-casual. Well,
exactly. Right. Let's put it out there. Like, even if you get a 40-50 IPM, the game could be a failure. Which, 2 years ago, you got 40-50 IPM, you were making money, top of the charts.
Yeah.
Like, you were making...
You're going to Zurich to set up a bank account.
That's it. You're making seven figures off the back of that. But now, obviously, the complexities of games and meta and everything that Jakob was talking about is only super important because, you know, that brings the increase in the LTV that allows you, one, to actually do UA in this harsh environment.
Especially blended UA.
But yeah, like this whole setup and hybrid for me, going back to that particular part, I do believe that hybrid is kind of a stepping stone. This is a big statement, right? But I've said it a few times now. I think hybrid is a stepping stone for hyper casual studios to learn casual. Mm-hmm. And then hybrid is like the 0.5 or the V1 of all of these teams
Mark one.
Because everyone basically wants casual evergreen games. Like, we want games that are in market 4, 5, 6 years.
Everybody's not talking about forever games.
But the thing is, you need to have the speed. That's the power of hybrid casual. Yeah. You need to preserve some of that very fast hyper casual speed.
You're right. The balance.
How the balance look like?
What? How the balance? You have a template.
Like, okay, but if you don't have the template yet, you know, like.
That's you're slower.
50-50 monetization.
Okay, but people are telling you. Testing hyper-casual games, like 2 days, whatever.
Why are you attending Games from Barcelona 2024?
Share insights and knowledge.
Have all gaming experts in one place.
Networking, great lectures.
Meet new people to learn more about the industry.
Games Forum is one of the best places to get mobile marketing insights.
See all the conferences and panels.
Staying up to date with the market.
I'm gonna meet their amazing people, the experts in their fields.
Insights and networking.
Register now and join 500 UA products and Apple managers at Games from Barcelona February 7th and 8th.
Try another one.
Yeah, for me, like just like out of my head when I was building stuff last time, I would say
a year ago.
I would say hyper casual
building shit.
Just to give it like estimate, hyper casual game you can do completely okay with 4 to 5 weeks. You have a like hyper casual game. You can test or kill hyper casual. Yeah. Hybrid, I would say minimum 3 months.
3 to 6 months.
Yeah. 6 months if you want to flesh it out.
Yeah.
Okay, but you cannot just test it like, oh, let's test it with like one item in the inventory. You need to build the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, it's quite hard now. Like,
Like serial killing, kill fast, fail fast.
Yeah, it's not what it was anymore.
Man. No. Yeah, you need to put, like, I would say, like you have to say 3 months is like a minimum project, right?
Yeah, so how do you approach, like, that kind of development? Like, okay, what's the process? Because.
Do you fund it?
Yeah.
That's the question.
You fund it as well, yeah. Like how are you approach? Yeah, like,
so obviously, there's.
First, like, okay, ideation, testing, funding, like, okay, because, I mean, if you fail at first, after the 3 months, kind of like, okay, well, we just lost 3 months.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's the game, bro.
Okay, that's the game now. Okay,
but new game is much slower.
More intricate, right? The product is more robust. You can't have the same level of engineer that was producing Core Loop in hypercasual.
Okay,
it's like the quality and the standard has to go up.
Okay, but are there like any like milestones in the between? Like
from a milestones perspective. Like, we have, like, a few, like, core ones. So MVP, you know, like, minimal viable product. We're looking at, you know, something between, you know, 30 to 60 minutes of core loop gameplay, right? No meta at this particular time. And this is allowing us to establish CPI and marketability. But whereas in hyper-casual, it was all about that to begin with. Yeah. Now we have to go into retention day one and potentially, like, well, not with 60 minutes, but if we can gauge some... Like day three, even day three.
So first kill gate is what CPI day one combination.
Yeah, day one retention and CPI is.
How quickly can you test that though? Like, how quickly before you test that?
So the thing is, the MVP could take anything between like 2 and 6 weeks, man. Like, you know, because it's.
But it's just the loop that the thing.
All hybrid casual developers are turning in their graves hearing that 2 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, like, man, the whole like again, like
but
during
the
prototype
a
week.
It's,
gone
game
now,
changed.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
game changed. Game changed. Adapt or die. Fuck off.
The thing is, exactly. Adapt or die. Fold. You know,
there you go.
But this is the crazy thing, guys. Like, hypercasual was great for many aspects, right? But it was a purely a marketability sort of like arbitrage based system.
It's marketing exercise, pretty much.
And look, the biggest games on hypercasual make what, 100 million? 150? And look, if you look at the biggest grossing games in the world, billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Honor of Kings, right?
billions of dollars.
Come on, man. There's levels and there's levels.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, we are transitioning from those. Like small games that come out very often, making much smaller amounts of money, to these forever evergreen games that potentially are 9 figures, 10 figures. Like, this is think about it. Like, all of us have been gaming long enough to remember before hypercasual.
Yeah.
And this is the way it worked before. We're going back in time slightly and focusing on quality rather than quantity.
Yeah.
And this has to be studios' focus. And obviously, again, as Jakob said, it's important to try and, like, you know, maybe templatize yourself, get some quick wins, you know, doing this as
fast as possible. Yeah.
But speed is important, like, agility is important.
Yeah,
right?
But let's go back to the process. So you test CPI day one, okay, Facebook, TikTok, Google.
Yeah, Facebook, and then you know, potentially we do a secondary test, which is like Unity, SDK.
Okay,
so there's also a massive difference in Facebook and Unity.
That's
now,
what
right?
I was saying, yeah, you can't. Based evaluation of the whole course of one channel.
Yeah,
that's one thing. But one test, that's the other question. Like, if let's say the team fails after 3 months of doing these things, how many chances do you give them to let's say have another try?
Yeah.
This is the the hard part.
So look. This is
silence. I want to hear the vice president's.
Because you know, we already sunk in 3 months into this.
Vice president.
We know each other. My friends call me John. John Vite.
You'll be an EVP soon if you keep that up.
I'm trying. What was the question? Sorry, I blanked out, guys.
After 3 months, we sat for 3 months, test failed. What do we do now?
Look. The thing is, I'm not going to say, like...
Kill it immediately.
Yeah, I'm not going to say...
You cannot do it like hyper-casual.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
There you kill it immediately.
This is the toughest thing with hybrid, I think, is that you get some amazing projects that actually have deep meta, and you start testing them and you think, God, this is going to be amazing, right? This is like actual, like, I didn't particularly like hyper-casual because I'm a hardcore gamer. I think a lot of us who work in the space wanted to work on projects that had, you know, memory and people could relate to, and you wanted to build something that your friends in a bar would be like, yo, look at this, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But hyper-casual wasn't that. Yeah. Hybrid is getting closer to that, right?
It's getting there.
It's getting there, let's say.
Yeah, so you can be like, want to be proud about this. But at the end of the day, again, the teams who are putting these hybrid casual games together are more technical and better quality. And it's either the teams that will do it right, they've got better or not. But
what do we do? Yeah, do we kill it or no?
Okay, so it's
important.
No, but yeah, context is everything, okay?
For sure.
But for us, we try and establish long-term relationships with our developers. So our number one developer, we have launched 5 games with, right? Mm-hmm. And we're very proud of that because we believe in long-standing relationships. That's part of the message of our team. So. Mm-hmm. If we invested, let's say 40-50k a month, you know, in terms of what we would invest.
Burn rate.
Burn rate, right? Okay. And then after 3 months, you've invested 150k, and this team have done everything they can and have listened to every bit of advice. So we have product people, right, who are analyzing, we have insights people who are literally going down with updated GDDs and saying, okay, we've looked at the game, we've looked at the market, these are the things we do. If that collaborative effort, right, that partnership, you know, we do everything we can, and still that game is not successful, it's not the team, is the game, you know, right? And you have to revisit that. And sometimes you can pivot and obviously change the initial game, or it's back to the drawing board, man. But losing
successful at that stage, so the KPIs.
So at that stage, we would say you would be alpha being up to 4 hours of content.
Okay.
So, you know,
MVP. Day one, what, 14?
No, so do you know what, dude? It's very interesting now because I'm seeing some games that have 30% to a day one, but the long tail LTV is really strong, right? Because we're going into the casual. Having 10, like if I have 30% day one, but 10% day 30.
Shape of the curve.
Yeah, we're talking now, okay.
So this and thing, it's not about like the hyper casual, like hockey stick, curve and die. This is like a longer, mellower curve long term, right?
It's not as sexy though.
It's not as sexy.
Yeah, well, it's sexy when you make money long term.
Yeah, exactly. 3 months in, we're making more. What? You still got more money coming from these jerseys?
Yeah, that's quite sexy.
Tricky, question then. Would you reskin the game into a different team and iterate it, for instance?
Oh, so...
Like, for instance, Estoti has the same game in 3 different variations on their account currently.
Oh, so it's something that we...
I know the backstory, but I can't help.
So this is a tricky one because... This is a moral dilemma, right? Yeah. So we value the partnerships with the individual studios, right? And I don't know if Stotty's set up and how they
do it. But you can do it with the same studio.
It's the same studio, so we do iterate different things within the same studio. Like, I wouldn't give a project that someone put 3 months into to another studio.
Alien Invasion, what I'm getting there is Alien Invasion, because Alien Invasion had pretty much the same game with like a fishing team. Looks perfectly, worked perfectly, didn't do shit. Mm-hmm. But then they changed the game a little bit. It's pretty much the same game, just alien team, bam.
Same studio. I mean, you're going back to like the Vampire Survivors sort of scenario, right?
You do it much faster on the second try because you already know.
Yeah, and look, you iterate, you move on. But this is why again, even like, so again, I've worked in studios recently where we've invested 100k, 150k, and they failed, right?
Yeah.
And
so you're still working there because
it's all about also the
execution.
Cultural fear and the execution and the working together and them knowing your process and, you know, at the end of the day,
and you already invested.
You know each other.
You've got
skin in the game, right?
That sounds fair. You know, like at the end of the day, you want to have studios that are producing results. Results doesn't mean hitting the games. Results doesn't mean hitting the blinds and like making stuff work and doing shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because we all know 90% of stuff we all do goes to trash. That's how the industry works.
Yeah, fine.
If you're Supercell or not, doesn't matter.
He's very kind. But no, that's the whole thing, guys. Like, it's tough out there. Games are getting more harder to hit the metrics. But, you know, once we get to alpha, we have enough content. So let's say it's 30-minute sessions per day, 4 hours, 8 days.
Yeah, okay.
So then you've got, like, day 7, right? So we have enough information there to look at day 7. And then from day 7, you're kind of in it or not, right? Like, if the day 7's good, then it's about continuing to add content and improve that content wheel from 4 hours to 8 hours to 12 hours, and then...
What's day 7 mean? 15, 10, 20?
Yeah, so yeah, 14% to 16% is probably like a good one. Again, really, if you
that's, were a, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, and then you, but you want again the trend line to be mellow, right?
Okay.
Like, so when it gets to like day 30, you know, you still want like 8% to 10% at day 30, right? And then this is a casual game, right?
Nothing matters. 10% day 30.
Do you look at ad metrics at that point or only retention? No, we start to. So after the point of alpha, between alpha and soft launch, like the monetization goes in, and then like. You know, we're looking at the shop, and you know, we have
conversions.
Like, exactly. So we have like from our tools team, we have the ability to put all this stuff in quickly.
Testing
right?
US.
US, yeah.
Okay.
So this is also.
Oh,
is that back?
Oh yeah, yeah. Tier one.
No,
tier one.
You don't need any more testing somewhere else.
But the thing is,
and maybe from a product perspective, maybe if you need some DAO to test a feature, you go tier three.
Matchmaking and stuff.
But it's all tier one now, dude.
Yeah. The thing is, like, what I'm doing is like market testing, US. Then okay, well, this game has legs. And we are going to soft launch, drop US, and then go to like tier two, and then afterwards to tier one. Because I mean, at that stage, you don't need US anymore. But if you want to test your market, the US.
Yeah, you need an actual view of what your LTV is, right? There's like, I don't care who you are, you could be the biggest like gaming company in the world, but your modeling from tier three to tier one is never going to be accurate.
Yeah, I
don't believe in that bullshit. No, really. I've never seen
it's outdated nowadays.
Fun while it lasted.
We're Canada for you.
That does mean, like, from a publishing perspective, you've got to understand that we've gone from spending a couple hundred bucks to thousands of dollars on UA.
It's tier one. Yeah, it's expensive.
So that's the thing. Like, some of the, you know, not only are we spending maybe six figures on the production and dev funding, we're also spending 10, 20K on UA, right? So these are all additional sunk costs that we have to factor into to the, you know, the commercial understanding with the studios and how we actually go to market. Like, you can't just like, it's not just a couple of hundred bucks, and you can't throw it away. Like, it's generally like serious money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you actually go to market then?
Well, this is the other thing. Like, in hyper casual, you would do like a hard launch, right? And when I say hard launch, I'm talking like, you know, put loads of money behind it, even potentially being like ROI negative.
Yeah, just, you know,
to get into the top, right? And then once you're there, you know, you get the traction, halo effect, K factor, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
And that was part of the calculation. That's how, you know, me and Matei did the UA, right? It's like, you know, eventually you would then reduce the CPI. And you would make profit, but it was all about like getting that K factor. And obviously, after the store changes and everything else, that just diminished. So actually, what we're seeing now, dude, it's very interesting. I think if you look at some of the big games in market now, this is you've seen the same trend. But the hard launch is it's not a hockey stick.
It's
a slow
gradual,
burn.
Exactly.
Right, like 2 years still going up. Like,
yeah,
that's what everyone wants, dude. Pocket Champs example is perfect.
Maybe. And you know what's a great example of Tile Match 3D?
Keeping my Pocket Match did a U-turn.
Yeah,
that's
Pocket Champs. Sorry.
Pocket Champs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Triple Match 3D. Like, I was talking to the guys at the mini club. I was like, guys, like, what the fuck? I know we had it on a different account. Nobody knew it's mini club. You know, like it's
clever.
It was amazing, and it suddenly just it kept growing. Like, you're like, you know,
I don't think so. It's even possible to do some of those, like, you know, whatever Gardenscape launcher or some of these casual midcore games with these ones, because with hybrid casual, you know, you cannot really, you don't have time to build all those features. So you build them as you go and like iterate and hope that you can.
Unless you have a template.
What do you mean you don't have time? I mean,
Warp Control or Dream Day, like these things were added into the meta game.
Yeah, because they were early on.
Early. Yeah, but you know. A lot of things are experimenting, creating something completely new. Like Arcade Idol, it was not here really before.
Yeah.
There will be new genres popping up. You don't even know about.
Idol Racing?
Idol Racing, exactly. So we'll get there. And then who will tell you this is the right meta game for
that
game?
Yeah, okay.
You need to figure it out yourself, and those mistakes will be very hard to swallow.
Very funny, we're working on Idol Racing.
See?
There you go. it's coming, dude. I'm betting on
this. Standing in line.
I'm coming.
Yeah, so many companies are already working on Idol Racing.
Yeah.
It's a new thing.
Give me a couple of months and I'll send it over to you guys so you can start playing.
Looking forward.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, so those five games you have in the pipeline, like, so the only Idol Racing. Anything else?
We're probably actually closer to 10 games in the publishing team alone. And the thing is, like, Quali at the moment is doing well, right? And there's a lot of companies out there who are not, but we're doubling down, we're investing. We're actually one of the only people, I think, that's actually operating multiple strategies to try and find, like, the new blue ocean.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't have, again, the financial security to do that, but, you know, fuck them. I'm
yeah,
in a
yeah,
position.
Do you have a darling? Do you have a darling at the moment?
Yeah, exactly.
First
yeah.
come, first goes.
Yeah, that's it.
So again, like, but the multitude of games that we're currently operating. So, like, from a publishing perspective, we are looking at half of the games that we're working on are hybrid casual.
Yeah.
Right. With a strategy to try and get them closer to casual.
Well, that's the like, the hybrid casual. Word mean to you? Is it just
is that 50-50 split you're saying, so, or is no, that what you're saying?
Necessarily. So obviously, yeah. it, for me, it goes down to monetization,
okay,
which I think most people's yeah. Sort of. Mm-hmm.
Casual is the revenue profile more of a genre.
Yeah, exactly. So there's two main things. One is adding meta,
yeah.
right? Like meta makes it hybrid. Like, and two, it's having anywhere between 30-50% in-app purchase rather than in-app ads. Which we know in this current climate, privacy coming, all of that stuff, this makes you more like recession proof.
Yeah,
even the players are more invested because they spend money on it.
Yeah, so they stay around for longer, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a knock on effect.
Yeah, in your definition, what would the retention profile look like? Day 1, day like 7, day 30, like what does that look like for hybrid casual?
Hybrid casual. So again, because hybrid casual is not a core definition or genre, like things are either closer to hyper or closer to casual, right? And depending on that, the profile and the persona of user does change. But day one, I'd say like anywhere between like 30-40%, and then you know, day three starts tearing off, and really from you know day one to you know day 14, you're looking to you know be 30% of what the initial number was, and then it starts going a bit lower. That's going up to day 28, but there isn't really like a full benchmark or not.
No,
because
yeah.
the shape of the curve is important.
Yeah, it's the shape of the curve more than numbers, right?
Yeah, but then if you have let's say day 61%. You aim for like day 60 profitability.
So I've got a better one. I'm going to return the question.
Okay,
would
yeah.
you prefer like a day one 60%, but like a day zero 2%, or would you prefer, you know, day one 40% and then day 30 10%? Like, what would you prefer?
So I worked on the game which had day one 28 and day 68%.
Yeah.
And
you're on that, right?
Yeah.
That's what we all want.
Yeah, yeah.
Longevity.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And we made money on the long term.
That's it. You've got to be patient.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
all
yeah.
of us in gaming now need to be patient.
But the thing is, like, every VC is like, oh, well, show me day one. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is
nobody
this
cares about day
yeah,
one
yeah.
in the end.
Yeah.
It's just part of the milestones.
Yes, nobody cares.
They have a template. That's what VCs
yeah,
have.
VCs have a template.
Yeah,
that's
the thing,
slower.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, people need to hear this because everybody's obsessed with, oh, well, day one, I have 30%. Like,
it's
yeah,
the wrong question.
The,
day one is just a reflection
yeah, like,
of your core
yeah,
gameplay.
What's the ratio
yeah.
day one, day three, day seven? Like, yeah, like the shape of the curve.
Yeah. Not to plug my man here, but if you want to hear a very good talk on monetization, listen to his Deconstructor Fund, because he basically said the same thing. Like, if someone comes to me and says about asking about eCPM, they don't really know what
yeah.
they're
doing. No. I used to work in a network. If someone comes complaining to me about eCPM, generally, you, from a network perspective, assume that person is not very knowledgeable, because
that's
it's Phil and eCPM that gives you the ad revenue.
The importance of the question.
Yeah.
Like, you asking the person the question shows if you know what you're talking about
yeah.
or not. If someone comes to me and says day one is the most important thing in the world, I'm like well,
yep.
okay, you kind of don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay,
kind of not at all.
I've been bright.
Yeah,
he's not so polite now. He's gone from nice guy to bad guy.
Yeah, he always does that.
But no, that's it. Look, at the end of the day, you know, I'm talking about profile, longevity, evergreen, all this stuff. Like,
yeah.
We want to launch as many good games in market as possible. You know, mission statement of quality is make the most fun games for the world's players. And that's why we try and live by that statement. But, you know, a lot of games die. A lot of hybrid, you know, a lot of hybrid games, which we have these five games that you know, we're talking about from a hybrid perspective. You know, hopefully two or three of them, you know, will go to market and be successful. And then the other sort of five games we have are other genres. We've got an AR location game that's coming out, which is really cool, with an IP. I can't talk about it yet.
Yes.
Oh, IP.
Please say Digimon. Oh, I'm that one. And then we're also looking at, like, you know, casual games, you know, like, or even, you know.
How did you come up with all these, like, different ideas? Do you want to just build, like, a genre expertise or something? I'm templating
so,
that.
So there is definitely a play which is, like, from a genre perspective, it's important to have more information
yeah.
in the market and understand where the trends are, and spending some money on other genres to
yeah.
find and get that blue ocean is a viable strategy, right? If you can then corner a market or corner a genre as a company, that will ensure you to make lots of money. So there is part of that, but ultimately, you know, we have the ability to do testing in different genres, different people, different
yeah.
countries, and you know, even if you spend money and lose, you've still learned, right? And it's the evolution of that process in your career.
Let me just stop you there, because this is like the most important thing that I think 80% of people don't get. You spend money and you lose, but you learn.
Yeah.
But what do you
what do you learn?
Say that again. It's such a good fucking point.
So you spend the money, you lose, and you learn.
Thank you.
And you need to learn. A lot of companies don't learn.
Yeah. And what is that learning from that? Like, that's important.
Yeah, I mean, well, it could be a number of things, right? It could be that this sucks and don't do it
again.
Or it could be like features in the game that you would never have in the emergent type of genre. Like,
well, let's reuse the whole of the meta because that part works.
The cross application.
And put it into different core gameplay.
Exactly. So think about, like, you know, the more tests you have in market, the more you learn, the more quick you're able to establish and, you know, agile to move, you know, to pivot, you know. The Hennessy team, you know, this is what you've got to do. Like, and then don't get me wrong, there are other publishers in market that are, you know, going laser focused on a particular form of hybrid casual right now. However, that's not our approach. So, you know, and I feel sorry for the guys working in those teams where they, you know, that laser focus. I have a lot of fun every day, bro, looking at different things.
Honestly, like, the
very unique.
Best thing that ever happened is the UA consultancy. I've seen a lot of shit. That's it's amazing.
Same here.
It's amazing. It's like, okay, well, I've seen this, and that. Like, I know how it's going to work. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You use those examples and those real-world experiences in another way, right? And you can have a hypothesis based off stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then you just apply that. And then look, either you're proven true or false, but at least you have an educated guess.
You've seen it before.
Another underhanded question. Have you tried turning your hyper-casual games into hybrids?
So one of the strategies that we're operating right now, we're operating a...
You do everything.
I mean, I'm trying a lot, bro.
I don't sleep, you know?
You need to prove the VP action, that's the shit.
We also grew the publishing team by 100% in the last 3 months since I joined. We applied developer support, so we now have engineers in the team. We have, you know, like a product, production, also game art, game design, and, you know, traditionally, like, as a strategy perspective, now we're, you know, we were traditionally doing, like, standard third-party publishing, but there's also a case of now we are, you know, looking at games in our back catalogue, which we can hybridize. We're looking at other people's back catalogues that we're acquire and hybridize. And we're also doing CoDiv, right? Some like solo devs and stuff like that.
Spoke to two developers here at BGC that like hyper teams have been very successful in hybridizing it right on the spot.
Yeah. Well, and
you know, how you do that?
You're at metagame.
Yeah, that's it.
Add metagame, you change the game,
PvP.
You keep the fun in core gameplay, retention needs to stay
PvP in class.
Get better in long tail and add spend depth.
But this is all viable strategies, right? Like I said, the industry is evolving.
Yeah.
Launching games has never been so hard. So you have to have many strategies to find out which is going to be the future.
All your lottery tickets, you need to scratch them all.
Can you, basically, before we wrap up, can you say three tips that you give to developers now?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Three life-changing tips again.
No, it's not three UA tips. Not three UA tips, it's actually three game design tips.
Life-changing, yeah.
I'm making fun of you.
I know.
You're saying, like, find Jesus?
No.
What do you want from me, man? Just spring that on a guy, like, at the end of the podcast, no prep.
Maybe let's do it differently.
I could give some stuff.
Yeah, okay.
What are you complaining about?
No, it's just because you caught me off guard, man.
How can you catch a vice president off guard?
This is how you
look, I'd say three things is, you know, focus on the game, and I know, like, on the product, and... You know, don't actually rush things right now. You know, things need time, and as long as you have, like, either the ability or financial support to continue to work on something, don't fail too quickly. You know, it's important to give things the time they need to be successful.
Yeah.
It's not hyper casual where you build a prototype in three days.
Two or 3 months.
You know, exactly. Yeah, okay. And maybe it's less than that, again, getting the MVP out, but you know, you need to be patient, and hyper casual is everything but being patient.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't work nowadays. Bye.
I think also you need to remain agile with the metrics and understand that things have changed, right? And you know, just because a game doesn't have, again, a 45% day one, 50% day one anymore, that does not mean that this game is a failure.
Yeah.
Great point.
So, you know, you have to really understand what you're trying to develop and where the trends are and where the industry's going. And that long tail curve that we've spoken about a few times today, you know, that is more important than the other stuff that we've done, and a key focus. And I think, you know, only don't be afraid to try new things, because quickly hybrid will become saturated. It already is. And I advise all teams to, you know, continue to develop fun stuff, which it could be different and unique. Like, copycatting was big in hyper casual. I don't think it needs to be in hybrid. And like, a hybrid is a stepping stone. Right? Yeah. And in casual games, there's plenty of them in market, which again have been live for years and years, and still remain unique. Maybe there's some capacity ones there, but you know, hyper casual prototyping burned out lots of studios. Like, coming up with a new idea every week,
oh my God,
50 weeks. Yeah. It was impossible, right? Now you don't have to do that, you know.
You can, I mean, you kind of have to, but not like on that pace.
Not at that pace, yeah. Correct.
You need to flesh that one idea and execute it. That's the thing.
Yeah, execution is key.
Yeah, but like, how do you find that idea? Like, oh, well, okay, this is it. We should try and learn or whatever. Like,
I need to be creative. That's called game design.
That's not the thing you do, man.
Oh, wow. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, we should probably wrap up, but we just want to say thank you so much for having this little discussion with us.
Hey, I mean, we're in a
great conversation, actually.
No, we've wanted to do this for a while, and, you know, like, I'm really happy that you invited me here, guys. And we've got, obviously, if you're not at our party, you've done something wrong.
Exactly.
It's the best party of PGC. It hasn't started yet, but I promise it's going to be.
Yeah,
really happy to have been here and have this, you know, cool conversation with cool people.
Thanks for having you, John. Appreciate it. All right, that's it. Thank you for listening. Subscribe. It's very important to us. It means a lot. And then see you next time.
Yeah.
Ciao.
So, Wicket or what's the topic?
Yeah.
Wicket or what's the
topic?
We've done this before.
Yes, okay.
Let's do Gossip Corner.
What best gossip we heard from PGC?
No.
Google Sandbox, huh?
I think we can be a little bit closer together. Like, let's go. Okay, fine. You know?
You're kicking it off?
No, you.
Okay.
You do it. I do it all the time. I know. Let's go.
No, come on, man.
Oh, my God. Okay, welcome, everybody. This is session number what? No, we call it special?
This is special.
This is special.
Live special.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We're doing it again.
We are in a dungeon.
We're in the basement. Our party is happening in one hour, and we have a special guest. Welcome, man. Welcome, John. Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Dude, let's start that again. Do your proper intro. Where it was?
No. Okay, right. I can do it.
Yeah, come on. That's what you do, man.
Proper one set up, man.
Come on, proper. And we're joined this very special.
Very special guest from Kuali.
Come on.
No.
I knew I gave you too much alcohol.
What? But
the two brandies kill you, man.
Come on.
Oh my God, okay. I'll put this at like after. Oh, yeah, it's gonna be there. It's gonna be there.
This is the group mistake.
Yeah, it's gonna be there.